everybody. Welcome to NBA Stories. I'm your host, Nick Nasby. Running it back here with the Philly Bull himself. Mark, how you doing? How's the Ben Simmons news hitting you right now?
It's Ben Simmons night, baby. Wells Fargo Center should be rocking tonight. You know, they're going to have the snowballs out. I don't know, though. I mean, I was hoping that we would have got the Ben Simmons from 2 weeks ago when Steve Nash was still there. But all of a sudden, the kid's hot. He might go for 12-7-4 tonight. Ooh. That could be a big night.
Wow. How many passed up layups?
At least four.
I was watching him. I don't remember who they were playing, but I was watching him, and he was playing better, but like I saw him do that twice. It's like, why are you passing it 2 or 3? I don't get it. Like, what are you doing? I think, you know, and it just goes back to what we were talking about with Steve Nash running this team. He's too soft, man. It's just his personality. He's a good leader on the court, but that's when he's performing, right? If your point guard's getting you 13 assists, shooting 50-40-90, and getting 15 points every game, like, you're going to listen to him. You're going to do what he says, right? But if he's just on the sideline and it's a completely different demographic of players, like these players are different than they were back in 2006, that's a different kind of relationship. I don't think he had it down. I think Jacques Vaughn's a good fit. I think if they keep him, I think they've had him before as a head coach. I don't remember. Maybe when Kenny Atkinson got fired, I think he stepped in. He's been their assistant for a minute. But, I think it's kind of interesting seeing Ben playing this way, right? Just like he's not what we saw in year two or year three, but he's definitely better than what we saw in games 1 through 10 this season. You know, I dropped him in fantasy, dude. I was so mad. Someone else got him. I was like, this is who he is now, I guess. This is what Ben Simmons has become. He's just completely shook to his core. He doesn't have any spine left, you know.
It kind of reminds you, honestly, I feel like two former All-Stars are having very similar seasons this year in him and Russ, actually, both members of your fantasy team at the beginning of the year.
I think former. Yeah, I dropped exactly. Both of them. And then they played well.
I think I have Russ now, actually. But yeah, it's like it's almost like everyone from an outside perspective saw for a while that I would say Russ more so than Ben needed to step into a different role on the team and kind of like take that step back, which could be better for the team's success. Russ has actually done a great job of that. I saw he is the favorite right now, betting wise, to win Sixth Man of the Year, which is kind of shocking. And then as for Ben Simmons, I think Ben, for as young as he is, still has the potential to get back to somewhat of the player he used to be. But the fact that he's sort of building this new role for himself with the Nets is going to be beneficial to their team, especially with getting Kyrie back. And I was actually watching live. I can't remember who it was against, but it was about a week ago. The game where it was on national TV, I feel like it was an ESPN or a TNT game. And the announcers were saying, like, this was the best quarter of basketball they had seen from Ben since his return. And you were kind of seeing him sort of, like, piece it together a little bit. Like, he had drove to the rack a couple times and sort of had flashes of that old Ben Simmons that we used to know. And it was interesting. Since then, he's kind of turned it up a little into, like I said, it's such a flash of the Ben that we used to know. But I mean, that's leaps and bounds better than what it's been for the past 10 or the first 10 games in the season. So, I mean, it can only go up from there. I think we do have to take into account the fact that the guy didn't play basketball for over a year. So, I mean, it's going to take a minute. I don't think we're ever going to see an all-star Ben Simmons, but I mean, hey, if you can put up, I joked about the stat line, but if he can be like a 14-7-7 type guy, that's what they need on this team to be the number three. I mean, they got all the talent in the world with Kyrie and Kevin Durant playing at the top of the game.
I'm actually playing against Ben Simmons today.
Ooh.
I know. I dropped him, the guy I'm playing, picked him up. Also, I was crushing it in fantasy, and now all my team's getting hurt.
So dude, I came back. Three. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't against you. I came back and beat who? I think it was Isaiah.
Yeah, you won last week. I have Jokic, who's been out for 3 games. I have Dame, who's now back out for another week and a half. Paul George didn't play last night. Aaron Gordon's not playing. Like, sucks, dude. It's the annoying part about basketball is that these guys go out for a minute and it just like crushes. Anytime you play fantasy, it just crushes weeks. You know what I mean? Because you need that kind of that production. Now, a guy who hasn't yet gone to the ranks of the NBA yet, but I did want to touch on him because what he's doing in France still is like insane. Have you seen Victor? Have you seen Wemby play?
Oh, he's been unbelievable. A little
bit recently. I was talking to Shot about
highlights.
I know. I was talking to Shot about it yesterday really quick, and I was like, there's only one comparison I can think of to compare him to, and it's Shohei Ohtani.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
It's like, I don't, because it's like, who else? Like, what else is there? There's, you can make the Porzingis thing. I think some people are throwing in Bol Bol to that equation, but I don't think he's that talented, right? By the way, just good on him. Good on Bol Bol. He's got to be in the running for most improved this year, at least at first. I guarantee he's on that line right now. But I was saying it during the preseason or like the exhibition games before the COVID games started back up, where it's just like free Bol Bol, man. Give him some time. Let him out there. You don't have anybody in front of him who's substantially better than him. Give him 10 to 15, 20 minutes a game. I don't understand why they weren't doing it. Mike Malone really, like, he's got some egg on his face for that one because I think Clifford's got him utilized the right way. And it's very interesting, you know, seeing what he can do, especially at his height, you know. But, yeah, so Wembanyama.
Dude,
NBAdraft.net has him at first now in front of Scoot Henderson. I mean, I don't know anybody who would take Scoot before him right now.
No. I think we do need to touch on – there's a very interesting storyline going on with the Victor sweepstakes. And, I mean, all of a sudden the Lakers have picked it up a little bit because Anthony Davis has been unbelievable. But keep in mind that weird Anthony Davis trade comes into play this offseason, where because you can't trade back-to-back first-round picks in the NBA, the Pelicans have the choice between the Lakers' pick this year or next year. So if the Lakers were to be in the top five, say, in the lottery, the Pelicans can go for that pick. And, I mean, you know the NBA fix is going to be on because – don't you think two of the teams at the top are either you send Victor out to play with LeBron in LA or Zion in New Orleans? I mean, those are box office tickets through the roof.
I refuse to believe that the NBA would ever fix a lottery in favor of New Orleans.
Yeah, that's
Zion,
fair.
The Zion lottery made me realize how unfixed it was because it went New Orleans and then Memphis.
And it could have been the Knicks.
Couldn't have been the two worst places to send somebody. Right. And it's like, okay, well, this is the best draft top two that we've had probably in 10 years. And we're going to send one to New Orleans and one to Memphis. Have you ever been to Memphis?
No.
It sucks. It sucks. I'm sorry to anybody who's in Memphis, but it sucks here. It sucks. It's like the airport sucks. The city sucks. There's no reason to go at all. You know, it's just like the Southern team, I guess, is kind of what they're going with that. But yeah, so I don't think that Silver fixes this as much as I thought he did, you know, especially from the pure anguish that I had on the day of that particular lottery when I really wanted Zion, but we didn't get him. I really, you know, wherever he goes, whether it's there or Orlando or Sacramento or something like that, you know, it's really going to be a conversation that we're going to have wherever he goes, because it's like he's going to change the franchise, right? So do you want somebody who's a franchise changer? Should he stay healthy, of course. You know, should you want somebody who's a franchise changer like that to go to like Sacramento or Orlando? Or do you want that guy to go to Texas, somewhere in Texas, right? You can even send him to Houston. That's a good team. I mean, it's a good location, fifth biggest city in the country. I mean, there's reasons for people to go there. Like, there's, when it comes down to it, I don't know. I mean, they've really flattened it out. I don't see any teams like truly in tank mode yet. I see some bad teams. I just don't think anybody's like actively trying to lose. They've really flattened out that curve when it comes to the lottery. So, you know, there's really not a lot you can do with that. So I think the other aspect to that is to kind of just to go into that concept. We're 20 games ish in 18 17, 18 games in for most teams, right? I think this is the time of the year you get to the dog days of the NBA coming really close, right? December, January, February. That's really when you start to see the weathering of the storm, per se. A lot of these teams aren't used to, or a lot of young guys, of course, you know, they're still not used to the 82-game grind. They're not used to having to put their body through that kind of exertion. So before we get to that phase, you know, when teams start to suck because of injury, this is the time where you can kind of see what teams suck because they suck and what teams like suck because they need to fix something. You know what I mean? So I think like the number one of the former, when I'm looking at their roster and I look at their coaching and I look at the, you know, the excitement from the bench and all, I mean, that's obviously something small, but those are all things that I pay attention to when it comes down to it. You know, I mean, what teams are you looking at right now and saying like this team might actually be the worst in the NBA and there's nothing they can really do to fix it right now?
I think it comes down to two teams in particular, actually, in the Western Conference, because I think a lot of the teams at the bottom of the East have some pieces that could bounce back. Like, for example, the Hornets, I think, aren't going to finish as a bottom five team in the NBA. The LaMelo just came back. He got re-injured his foot. But I think you might see them get a little bit better as they get healthy. Gordon Hayward's going to come back. The Miles Bridges mess kind of poured into the start of the season. So they might figure it out a little. As I don't think the Pistons are as horrible as they've been. That has shocked me. Actually, I listened to some NBA analysts. One particular analyst, I cannot remember who it was. Actually, it was either Jalen Rose, Jalen and Jacoby, it was on that show, one of those two said, beginning of the season, that the Detroit Pistons will not only make the playoffs, but host a first-round matchup. That was far off, because they are...
Four seed, they're saying?
Dude, they're currently 3-15, yeah, no. Worst record in the NBA. But I'm going with two Western Conference teams that I think are just the absolute worst in the NBA. The Rockets are terrible. Their talent, they got talent, but it does not mesh well together whatsoever. I mean, I'm starting to think, as good as he is, Kevin Porter Jr. is just kind of like a losing player. That's just who he is. He's going to put up the shot volume, and I don't really see him. He doesn't make the players around him better. Jabari Smith has not been good whatsoever.
Really bad. He's really bad. He's getting a lot of shots up, though. At least he's confident to take them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I think their team is loaded with players that all they know how to do is shoot at a high volume, and it doesn't, and not a good percentage, and they're not good playmakers, and that's Kevin Porter Jr.
They have like six Jordan Clarksons.
Dude, exactly the guy I was thinking of when I brought up Kevin Porter earlier. Same with Jalen Green. He's that type of player. I mean, Jayshon Tate is the same sort of build. Eric Gordon has got to get traded soon here. I mean, they're just kind of like a mess of like mediocrity, all those guys. And then you also have the Spurs, who have less talent than any team in the NBA right now. Jakob Poeltl is their best player, which is just a sentence that should never come out of my mouth about an NBA team.
I'm going to challenge. Yeah, I think Keldon's really showing himself. I agree they're bad. I'm just saying I think he's better than Jakob.
Yeah, Vassell is probably better too, so I'll take
Vassell. Vassell's spiked. I mean, it's funny because they're like a prospect factory, right? Mm-hmm. They've never had to do a build like this where they've had only prospects and like young guys and guys who haven't really proven themselves, because they've always had the consistency of like Timmy and Manu and Tony. I mean, again, think about it. It's been 6 years since Timmy retired. Mm-hmm. Manu, I think, was a year or two afterwards, and then Tony was in Charlotte until 2019, I want to say. So it's like it's been a minute that they've been on this turnover phase, and I think they're trying to get their footing, but they're playing a long game, and they don't have a piece really to start over with, which I found interesting. I believe that they wanted that to be Kawhi. You know, and I think it was going to be Kawhi. The thing is with the Spurs, they're just like the Patriots. You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So, yeah. Like, there was clearly an issue with Kawhi Leonard staying out for as long as he did that year. But at the same time, it's like, well, why did he leave? Why did he want out so badly? Right? Like, he was the foundational piece that you could have. Imagine these pieces around him. You know, imagine Keldon Johnson or DeJounte around Kawhi Leonard with Jakob Pertl. I mean, that's a really, really solid team. You know what I mean? With Papa coaching that team. So I think that their plans were shaken up because of Kawhi leaving. I think they tried to find a specific fix for that. They didn't use DeMar Wright. Obviously, we know that he's better than he was on the Spurs. And, you know, they lost LaMarcus, obviously, right after that. So, long game. I never think that the Spurs are, like, bad because of Pop. But you're right. They have the single worst roster in the league. And I don't even really think it's that close.
No. It really isn't. And I don't remember exactly what the trade was that sent DeRozan over to the Bulls, but they didn't really get all that much back in return, which I think also hurt them, because I think DeRozan was a free agent at the end of the year. And the other thing about DeRozan we forget is he's reached his peak at such a late age. He's old. He's very old. So I don't think that offered that much trade value in return, which has kind of killed them. I think they did get a future first-round pick. I don't even know if that's been used yet, to be honest.
What is he like? He's 34?
I want to say, yeah, 34.
Going to 35. So he's like, he's lost the explosion, but I think his turnaround game is as good as it's always been.
He's been so good, yeah.
I know.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the Spurs, Rockets are going to finish at the bottom. In the Eastern Conference, I think the Magic are still – they have talent. They kind of remind me of the Pistons. Like, those are both bottom teams in the East that do have, like, a bright future. I mean, I look at the Magic almost not quite to this extent, but them and the Thunder in the West are teams that I actually really like their future and what they could build towards. Banchero's been out for a couple games now, too. So when he returns, they might pick up a couple more wins here. But those are teams that, although not the best, them, the Pistons, and the Thunder, I think you like what you're seeing here. The latter, though, the Spurs and Rockets are just like, I don't know where you go from here if you're those teams. You got to hope that Victor, you're in the Victor sweepstakes and can maybe turn your franchise around with a guy like that.
If he goes to San Antonio, that's going to be really bad for everybody. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is also like Pop's, I mean, how many more years are we really going to get out of him? He's 70-something, right? You know, I mean, it's like he lost his core. He's probably, besides Red, going to go, I mean, Phil Jackson, all, you know, those names, he's going to go down as maybe the greatest coach ever, right? I don't really know too many names you can put ahead of him. The only reason we don't call the Spurs a dynasty is they never went back to back, but five rings is five rings. You know what I mean? And they were doing that over a span of literally like a 15-year window, you know, which is crazy to think about it. They did that over a 15-year window, and they kept putting pieces in to actually make themselves better on a consistent basis. So organizationally, they're fine. It's the same thing with, like, let's talk about the Jazz for a second, the first place team in the West somehow. Right, organizationally, they have everything going the best way. They've never been bad. You know, I mean, do you remember a bad Jazz team? Because I don't.
No.
Have they ever been bad in your lifetime? Because I don't think they have been in mine. Maybe 1 or 2 years they had a bad season, right? But it's like, if you have to rack your brain for a losing season for an organization, like, that's a good organization. And the fact that they can take – and yeah, I was talking about Lowry and his time in the Bulls, and it's like – this was a guy who, on a bad Bulls team, was putting up 20 points a game. A 7-footer who could stretch the floor, dribble, get rebounds, block if he wants to. But really, like, the goal with Lowry Markkanen is to be a stretch big and be able to move the defense out. 20 points a game, 23 points a game right now. You know, he's clearly the front runner for most improved. I don't think, you know, I think he's got that in the bag if this season continues and he stays healthy. He's leading a team that everybody thought was going to be a throwaway team so they can figure it out and start over. And now we're realizing that this is not a throwaway team like the Cavs were when LeBron left. This is more of a rebuilt team with pieces like the Nuggets were when Carmelo got traded, right? The Knicks moved all these pieces to Denver and everyone's like, oh, Denver's going to suck now. All of a sudden, Denver's a third seed in the East. They're doing better than the Knicks were in the East with Carmelo now that they lost him and they have all these pieces. So I think it's literally what's happening in Utah. They clearly have a good coach. They have all these, you know, they have their guy that they want to work on. I mean, do you think, if you look at it from such a limited sample size right now, very limited sample size, do you think that Lowry Markkanen is actually somebody that you could build a team around? Or do you think that he has to be a second piece on a team if you actually want to make damage and do damage in the playoffs?
I would go with the second piece. And that still says a lot about him. But I'm trying to, like, he's not the best defender in the world. And, like, I'm looking at his, like, even think back to Anthony Davis with the Hornets Pelicans. That's a player that still wasn't enough with the pieces he had around to really build something in New Orleans. So I think you're going to have a hard time with somebody like Markkanen being that one. I think he really needs a wing or a guard that can sort of supplement his scoring. Now, the Jazz do have a nice little core of those type of players, but I still think to really compete in the playoffs, you're lacking. I mean, ironically, it's a guy like Donovan Mitchell is what you're lacking. It's a shame they couldn't have gotten Markkanen in the Gobert sweepstakes, because Mitchell would be such a good fit with Laurie and some of these other core pieces they have. So I still think they're a piece away from that. But the trajectory of the organization has really changed, I think, because of what they're seeing right now in Laurie. I don't think you're looking at this now as you're not going to have the chance to get one of these top guys in the draft coming up. So do you look into possibly making a trade at the deadline or free agency coming up and say, hey, let's build something with what we have going on right now? Because there are some great pieces here that they were able to buy pretty low on. I mean, it's hard to say buy low when you traded Donovan Mitchell and Gobert, but at the same time, like, we thought it was just going to be like draft picks, and they ended up getting some core pieces in the deal without even factoring in the draft picks that they also got. I mean, that Gobert trade is insane. They have so much draft capital in the coming years because of that deal that I think you're looking at one of the brightest futures in the NBA here. And I think having Markkanen playing at such a high level right now makes you not only open to the fact that you could draft and start to build this roster that way, but you could also look to maybe even move some of these picks for win now type players. So I really like where the Jazz are headed. I don't think Markkanen's a one, but he's a great two. And I you couldn't have said that a couple years ago.
I think, you know, in his time with the Bulls, there was a case for that. It's just he got to Cleveland and they just didn't use him. They didn't have a place for him. They had three guys just like him. You know, I just don't think that they had any space for him on the court. He's like, we have him, Kevin Love, and Chetty Osman. Like, which one do we want to use? Maybe the ones that have been here for the last 6 years, or the one who's brand new. And I think JB looked at it that way, and he said, okay, we'll use him how we can and see if we can get any defensive prowess out of him. He has upticked his defensive win shares over the last 3 years, and this year it looks like it's on a pace for last year and the year before. So, you know, that's a good thing, because he's 7 feet tall. You have to be able to do something defensively, even if you're a small forward. I don't think anybody's considering this guy a power forward. He's a small forward the way he plays. He's, you know, stretch big, whatever you want to say. But at the same time, you need your big guys to be able to intimidate defenders, or, you know, guys driving on the lane, and that's what he's done, you know. So I think it's crazy to me how Utah keeps fucking doing this, because no one's going there in free agency. Like, you can just scratch that off the table. Nobody's going to choose Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, as their destination point, you know, unless they're literally already Mormon. Like, in that case, you're fine, right? If Jimmer Fredette was a high-level player, you're fine. You're good to go, right? But it's not the case. Nobody really wants to live like that, and it's not a great place for inclusivity when it comes to, you know, people wanting to feel comfortable in, you know, in their area. So they have to trade. They have to draft. They've done both of those things very well for the last 30, 40 years. The last time they were truly bad was like Mark Eaton, Adrian Dantley days, Thurl Bailey. And at that point, they were even not that terrible. So that's a very interesting establishment of events there. I think that team stays healthy. They're a solid 3-4 seed. I don't see them staying as the one. I think that eventually teams are going to figure out that dynamic. But at the same time, if you have a number one guy who's averaging over 23 points a game, and 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all able to average double digits as well, plus, let's not forget, they still have Jordan Clarkson, who comes off the bench and just lights it up like a microwave. So, you know, that's another big deal, You know, this is something that's sustainable. They need one more thing. It's like the Knicks a couple years ago. You needed one more piece. We didn't. Granted, we never got it, but you know, you needed one more piece in order to actually make a legitimate play in the playoffs. You know, and that's where they are right now. I was watching the Knicks game. I'm back in New York for a week, right? And I was watching MSG. And the Knicks were playing, and Derrick Rose was at the free throw line. And I thought to myself, you know, he's gotten his minutes cut more. Jalen Brunson has taken the minutes that IQ was already taking from him. So now he's playing like 10 to 12 minutes a game. Derrick Rose is 34 years old, granted, right? So at this point, his career would have already been turning down. But everybody talks about the what if with Derrick Rose. But I mean, I think, and this is what I was talking to you before the show, outside of what ifs, he did win an MVP, right? He won an MVP. And if you look at every single MVP going back to the inception of the NBA, they've all made the Hall of Fame, every single one of them. You know what I mean? Like, without question. Now, obviously, it's usually repeat guys, Kareem, blah, blah, blah. But even your Dave Cowens, even, like, your fluky. I mean, Dirk was obvious, right? Dirk's an obvious Hall of Famer. Charles Barkley's an obvious Hall of Famer. Every single one of them,
even, you don't like, even Bill question. Walton. Even Bill Walton, who's obvious. Probably one of the weakest MVPs.
He was the one that you could have made a case for because of his injuries, but he still made it because he was able to extend his career. And he did more. And he had – and that MVP – was an immaculate season with the Blazers. It was the immaculate season. It was a championship team. He played some of the best basketball. He was a point center that no one really had seen since Bill, you know, Russell 10 years before that. It's an immaculate season. You win the MVP and you're going to make the Hall of Fame just on that, just on the equity of that season. Derek doesn't have that, right? That team was a 2 seed. He played pretty well, right?
But weren't they a 1?
Look, if,
yeah, because they got knocked out by the Sixers.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and then he tears his ACL against the Sixers and loses.
Yeah, yeah. They were the 1 seed that year. Because I remembered they were a 1 seed 1 year, but I couldn't remember if it was that year or the year he came back. But I agree. I think they were the 1 seed. The Eastern Conference was all shook up, right? And to be completely honest, the only the true competition that we would have had that season was between LeBron, D-Wade, Dwight Howard, and Derrick Rose. Dwight Howard came in second. LeBron came in third. Dwayne came in like fifth, which is crazy to me because I think he was probably should have been second. Maybe even should have won it that year. I mean, he was absolutely amazing that season. But I was always under the impression that Derrick won it because he was fun, exciting, new, and he wasn't LeBron James and everybody's mad at him that year. You know, but now he has an MVP. If you look at it, when all is said and done at the end of this career, is Derrick Rose going to the Hall of Fame? Do you think he's in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think he can get there. And I think it's like Bill Walton is an interesting conversation to have because the difference is how much can an injury, like the injury history that both of them had in their career, impact the dynamic players that they are. And I think what we saw was Derrick Rose's ACL. I mean, that completely tarnished what his game was all about, which is that explosiveness, that Ja Morant type of player. When you lose an ACL, I mean, that's it's not like any other sport. It's almost impossible. I mean, AP maybe is like the only other case I could make. That takes all of that explosion away and you really have to rebuild it from rock bottom. As opposed to Bill Walton, big men, I mean, we've seen it really hamper their careers, but at the same time, your game isn't really built around explosion. So I think with that injury history, Bill Walton is still able to like elevate his play and stay at that level for a longer period of time than Derrick Rose ever was. I think Derrick Rose's prime was obviously a Hall of Fame career, but it just didn't last long enough. And I don't think he'll ever get there for that reason. But it doesn't take away from the fact that like he had one of the greatest seasons we've ever gotten to watch in our lifetime. I think he was deserving of that MVP. He brought them to the 1 seed, which, I mean, that's another thing to keep in mind that we forget in the NBA nowadays because people put up numbers that we've never seen before, like Jokic. But it used to be highly reliant on where your team finished in the regular season standings. You carry a one seed, like, that team had no business being the best in the Eastern Conference that year. They were good, but Derrick Rose was the single reason that they were there. And what is the award called? Most valuable player. For that reason, it's very obvious that he would be the choice there. I think nowadays it's gone very much different, where it's just who is the best player, who's putting up the craziest numbers.
Well, who's the best story? Again, I mean, yeah, it's always kind of been like that, right? It's the best story. It's the writers, and they're all in their creative minds trying to figure out who the best story is, you know, to focus on. But I mean, just like going to your point, you know, really quick before we get into that last section we wanted to do, Derrick Rose has averaged more than Bill Walton, right? He's played more games now. Now, granted, two more seasons already, but he's played more games substantially. Per 36, basically across the board, it's D. Rose, right? Bill, what Bill did that's different is that one year, right? Champion, block champion. He actually won one with the Celtics. You know, he ring grabbed and got one, right? Two-time All-NBA, which I think D-Rose has one or two of those right now himself. All-defensive twice. Finals MVP. MVP. Sixth man of the year in 85-86. And two All-Stars. D-Rose has three All-Stars. Rookie of the Year, right? I mean, there's... So when you go to Derrick Rose, three All-Stars, All-NBA once, All-Rookie once, Rookie of the Year, and then MVP that year that he was All-NBA.
There's a case. So, there's a case. I mean,
but that's, when you lay that's it what out. I'm saying is, like, the MVP right there is enough to project him past a lot of players, right? The issue that we run into with the Hall of Fame cases now is that guys like T-Mac and Mitch Richmond, like, I love T-Mac, and Mitch Richmond was a very, very good player, in fact, a great player. I don't believe either one of those have business at least being first ballot. T-Mac was first ballot. Mitch wasn't a first ballot, but the fact that he got in when he got in is like, okay, you've lowered the standard now of the Hall of Fame. What I was talking to last year with Mike about on this show, when he was talking about how it's a Hall of Very Good, which he's right. I mean, it has become that. When you're looking at that in comparison to baseball, football, any other sport besides maybe hockey, you have to realize, like, there's less players on a team. And you still want to have a substantial class, right? You want it to be more than one or two guys a class. So if you have the same kind of stringent regulations that the NFL has, then none of the guys who – there would be classes that are just empty, right? I mean, if you have a year where you have, like, Grant Hill and – I don't know, Grant Hill and Sean Marion are, like, the two guys, you know, that's – You're probably not getting any Hall of Famers that year, you know. So I think the NBA takes a bit of a different approach to it for that reason, and the fact that that would break literally the longest. I mean, the streak that goes back to the beginning of the league. I think he makes it. I don't think he's a first ballot. I don't think he deserves to be a first ballot, but I do think he makes it eventually, just based on the fact that he won that MVP. He was so phenomenal for that little span there. Literally the best player in the league for that span, on top of just like a prime LeBron James, prime LeBron, prime D Wade, you know, prime Dwight Howard, prime, like, people forget prime Dwight Howard. He's in the Hall of Fame, no chance, no doubt. You know, like, the when he was at his prime, he was the best center that we'd seen since Shaq. So I don't know. I just found that interesting to think about, because it's like, wow, he fell off so hard. He was so, so great, and he won an MVP, but he did not guarantee to get in the Hall. Usually that's a guarantee. That's like the guarantee that you get, you know. I think Bill was kind of that's a good point you made, but he was able to kind of get it going in the right place afterwards, so that, you know, helped him out. But anyway, let's move on to that, to what we really wanted to talk about today is, I mean, I guess it's kind of similar to this, right? Where there's all these players that we're seeing today that have, every year you see the All-Star game, there's a bunch of snubs, right? There's a bunch of snubs that we think probably should have gotten in over some name from some better team that probably shouldn't have made it based on stats because their teams are better. They get in anyway. So that happens all the time. But there's some names that that's happened to so substantially that they have gotten to this phase of their career and they haven't yet gotten an All-Star game. 6-7 years later, right? And people who probably deserve it. So what Marker and I are going to do for anybody who is thinking about who these names are, well, we're going to tell you because we're going to draft two teams and see who beats, and we'll post it in the on the Twitter and on the Instagram and see what you guys say, see what team you think is going to be better. So, hang on, I was going to grab a coin, but I forgot to. Do you have a coin? We're going to flip a coin for first pick.
I think I do actually. Actually, let's do a virtual one. Pull it up on Google. All right. I'll get this ready to go. We'll do a snake-style draft for this one.
I have a quarter here. I have a penny. Hang on. Fuck your Google. Fuck your Google. We're doing this old school, so we know it's legit. All right, ready? Heads or tails?
Heads.
Oh, fuck, it fell. It's heads.
All right.
First you want second. I don't know why I said.
I got it. I'll take the first pick then.
Just here. Take first. That's not even a question. This isn't a football game.
we built the whole episode around this guy. So I got to go first overall. We're building this team with SGA to start it off. I mean, this is kind of why we made this segment. The guy is just playing at an MVP level right now. I mean, we talked about Derrick Rose. This is the kind of guy who, if they can sneak into the playoff picture, he is right there for the MVP conversation right now. The guy is just playing out of his freaking mind at this point. I don't know really what else there is to say about the performance we've seen so far this year, and we've seen it throughout every year of his career so far. He just gets better and better and better. And it's crazy to think he started his career with the Clippers. I mean, this is a product of Doc Rivers. Look at the hat I'm wearing right now. This dude, Doc Rivers, could not figure out to play this guy over the likes of Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe,
and his kid.
Yeah, I mean, are we kidding here? The guy was not even playing as a starter his first year in the NBA, averaging 10 points. Since then, 19 a game. Then in 2020, he was averaging 24, 25 last year, and now he's averaging 31 points a game. The guy is one of the top guys in the league in scoring so far, also averaging about 5 assists a game too, almost 5 rebounds. He's just doing something with literally nothing around him at this point. I mean, could you even imagine if Chet Holmgren was here? I mean, the future in OKC is bright. And Sam Presti just seems to do it year in and year out. I mean, the draft picks are loaded. It's unbelievable.
He's the best in the business. Yeah.
He's looking like he might be the best Canadian-born basketball player of all time. This guy is.
What about Steve Nash, bro?
I mean, pretty great.
Give it some time. I get it, but like, dude, back to back MVPs, 50-40-90s. Like, come on, respect Steve Nash. He's a bad coach, good player.
That's true. I think we have a little bit too much stink on him right now from the coaching days.
He's been in the limelight for the wrong reasons. All right, let me go next. I'm gonna take De'Aaron Fox. I was watching him last night. He's just like, dude, he's got this takeover. He's got this takeover badge every single game that they were losing. Him and Herter just like start just going absolutely nuclear. And it's all mid-rangers getting to the basket. Like his averages have been over 22 points a game for the last, I want to say, 3-4 years. And no one's ever even really thought of him when you're talking about the All-Star game, right? I mean, he hasn't really even been a close snub. That's not the first name that comes up, which I find crazy now when you look at the way he plays. It's because he's in Sacramento. That's the issue. You know, you get teams in these horrible, horrible markets for nationwide attention. I mean, if you watch a Sacramento game, they love their team. Don't get me wrong. Like, Kings fans are legit, and they go hard for the Kings. But outside of Sacramento, like, no one gives a fuck. Even if you drive 20 minutes south, they're all Warriors fans. Like, it's an unnecessary city. So, but he reps him, 25 a game this year. And I think this will be the first year, 25 and six, almost 6.5 and almost 5 rebounds and a steal a game. You know, less than 3 turnovers, 38% from 3, hitting 2 a game, 55% from the field, you know. And then he's 84 from, I mean, he could go 50, 40, 90 pretty easily this year. So
is that one of the best win-win trades we've ever seen in NBA history? Because I'm looking at the trajectory of both teams that are both currently out exceeding expectations by a lot in the Pacers and Kings. And I think it fits really well for both teams. Sabonis is a great... I actually thought Sabonis was going to be on this list. I forgot. He's a two-shot. Two.
Yeah, he's got
two, which is shocking.
The first one he got was he was a replacement, but then the next one he got voted in outright. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I love Halliburton. Also, let's preface going into this draft too. We made a rule ahead of time: first year and second year players ineligible, just because they're too obvious. Rookies don't really make the All-Star game much. And second year, same sort of deal. Those are way too obvious to put
only the best of the best names. Make it. So like, I mean, so that kind of what that's like Ant Davis and
or Ant Edwards. Halliburton,
Davis
has made an All-Star game.
Yeah, Banchero. I mean, he'll make one.
Yeah, all those guys.
He's really good.
Yeah, they would all be on this.
Your second pick.
Now you can go because we'll do a snake to make it fair. Yeah. Right. So you can go
next for me then. If I'm going off a career, I have one. If I'm going off of this year, I have one too. How should I focus?
Let's do career.
Okay, I'm taking CJ McCollum.
Yeah. That's
that was surprising.
Dude, shocking. Yeah. I
barely even looked it up when I was going through the names. It's like you go down the list on Basketball Reference and you see like the star next to it and I'm like there's no All-Stars here. You know, he was second fiddle to Dame for so long. I guess they just weren't good enough. If the team's better, I think he would have made a couple, but yeah, CJ hasn't made an All-Star game yet. He's going to be Mike Conley. He's going to be the new Conley.
Well, that's what's fun. I actually looked at doing Conley. I forgot he did get an All-Star game.
Yeah, because they like forced it.
That's what you see in the NBA, and I think exactly what you said about the Blazers just never being good enough. A lot of times when they take, like, if you're a top 2 seed in your conference, they make sure to give you 2, even if one of them's a stretch. Like, I remember the Sixers, I think it was 2 years ago, Ben Simmons got in, but it was between – we actually did an episode talking about this. It was between Simmons and Tobias because they were the one seed in the East, and you had to get a second in there. Same thing happened with the Jazz. Was that last year that Conley got in or 2 years ago? I can't remember.
Conley got in last year. They were the one seed.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about there. Like, McCollum just never, I don't think, on a good enough Blazers team to be that second fiddle. But I mean, I still don't understand how he's never made it. I consider him an All-Star player.
Yeah, it's wild. I know. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. All right, you're up.
Second pick. I'm gonna go with. I think I know the direction I'm going with both of these picks, but I want to give one guy the leg up over the other because of what he's done pre-injury in his career, and I think he's going to get back to that level. I'm going to go with Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray is somebody that is clearly an all-star talent player who got killed by an injury, and it's taken a long time to recover. I mean, bubble Jamal Murray is the last we really saw of him up until he's building back on a minutes restriction so far this season. But it's going to take a little to get back to that point. I think he's clearly an all-star type guy. And I think the Nuggets are a team that whether it's this year or next year or the year after that, they're going to finish as a top 2 team in the West sometime in the near future. And he's clearly the number 2 there, along with another guy who might get drafted here today. We'll talk about him probably later, but Jamal Murray is, if the Nuggets finish as a top 2 seed, he's clearly your number 2. He's the main ball handler on that team and exactly what Jokic needs to really bring this team to the next level. I think he's somebody that really gets underestimated in the league today because we forgot about him with the injury for so long. It was always such a what if. And didn't he come back? I think he came. Oh, no, he never ended up coming back last year. But there was always that talk at the end of the season, oh, Jamal is going to come back for the playoffs. He hasn't gotten there, but I mean, he's averaging 17 a game this year, which I mean that's
he was going toe to toe with Mitchell
in
the bubble. I mean, they were just trading 50 pointers back and forth, you know? So it's like, yeah, he's that level and he can get there whenever. He doesn't need all the explosion in the world in order to play his game. He definitely needs it a bit more than most. But at the same time, that's like always the issue, right? It's like, what kind of style does this guy play? And is it going to be destroyed by the fact that he hurt his leg? Yeah. It's a leg thing, right? Yeah, usually. But you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if that's the problem, okay, so is it going to be a Grant Hill situation where he can never get back to the way he played and he has to change everything? Or is it going to be, you know, a situation where he's able to actually recover entirely and go back to the way he was playing because of the style actually meshes a bit better with his injury? All right, so Jamal Murray.
And then with my next pick, I'm going to take Markkanen. He's another guy that sort of inspired this segment. We talked about him earlier in the show. I think Laurie has always been a really good player. I don't know if he ever was quite there with the Bulls to be close to an all-star, but he wasn't bad. I mean, he was still a very – like had a really high trajectory in the first couple of years of his career, almost averaging a double-double. I think there was a year in Chicago where he was like 19-9 or something like that. Just sort of on that cusp, and now we're clearly seeing an all-star level with the Jazz. He's the best player on the team, and I think that he's a clear fit here. I don't know if we're really just kind of drafting our top five or filling it out positionally. It's up to you here.
Yeah, I'm doing right, positionally.
Cool. Then we'll roll with that because I'm marking it'll be like my stretch four here.
SGA
and Murray.
One, Murray, they can split it, and then like Markkanen's like your three or your four. Perfect. I'm going to go, this might be a bit of a stretch at this point, but I'm going, you know what, actually, no, I'm going to take Bohan. I think the thing with Bohan is consistency, right? I mean, he has always, you know what you're getting with a guy like that, and what you're getting is usually like 18, 19 points a game. He's not going to rebound the ball incredibly well. He's going to play good defense, not great defense, right? But when you need a bucket and you have your second team out, or you know you have one of your starters out, and he happens to be that one starter, you're gonna be able to keep up with the starting lineup because of him. You know, I was watching that. It was Pistons. Oh shit, they're playing. It might have been the Pistons versus the Kings. I don't remember. But no, they were playing. Yeah, it might have been whatever. But, you know, Bohan, he made a couple of mistakes. I think a lot of guys do. But over the course of his career, stemming from Utah now into Detroit, you know, he's been very coveted for that reason. He's a great trade piece always. And I think it goes to the level of, is he someone who's like on the first of your list to make an all-star team? Like, not really. It's not really, you're not thinking like Bohan Bogdanovic got snubbed for the All-Star game, right? But at the same time, he's higher level than just a consistent starter. He's kind of in that weird purgatory state where you're between All-Star and like high-level starter. And that's where, you know, where he falls, where he's always fallen. So I find that to be pretty interesting. I would have gone Triple J, but he can't stay healthy. Like, I'm factoring that in. You know, he's just hurt, man, all the time. It's crazy. I feel for the guy, but it's like, dude, the best availability is, or best ability is availability, right? Like, you're never on the court. When you're on the court, he's absolutely lights it up. I was watching him when Ja went down with the ankle injury, and he just started just cranking threes out of the wazoo. Like, I couldn't imagine where it was coming from. But that's just something that I factor into the equation there. So the next pick I'm going to take here, just going off of this list, I know we're getting kind of to the kind of weird area where it's like these guys kind of suck, but not really. Basing off of a career, I think for a four, I'd probably prefer to go Tobias Harris. I mean, you could probably speak more on Tobias than me, but going
it's fair.
LA. Yeah, LA. I think he started in Orlando, and that's where he got, you know, some high level minutes, and he started to get up over 15 points a game. You know, goes to LA on the Clippers, and he was one of that like really surprising team, which I believe was where SGA was too at that time. like very surprising Clippers team where no one really thought Doc had it. And then everyone thinks Doc's a great coach, even though he had like a lot of great pieces, and he actually is kind of a shitty coach, but whatever, leave that one alone. But now in Philadelphia, third fiddle, you know, when it comes to Embiid and Harden, kind of always has been, because Ben Simmons took his thunder before that. But I mean, I think when it comes to consistency, again, like going back to somebody who's on the court, you really just know what you're going to get, right? You might get a bad game here and there, but I mean, and you can speak to this more than me because you watch him a lot more than I do. But every time I watch him, it feels like he's a threat on the court at all times. You know, and that's hard to find, really, in consistency, at least in the NBA. So I'm going Tobias.
He gets a lot of shit in Philly because we're Philly, and I mean, expectations are high, but he's one of those guys where if you saw, I mean, you saw it in Orlando, if he was on the Spurs right now, he'd be an all-star this season. Like, he has that type of talent. The biggest problem with him is his fit on this current team doesn't allow him to be the player that he should be. He's a back to the basket, playmaking one-on-one type basketball player, and we really ask him to be like a spot shooter, which is not his talent. He's not a bad shooter, but that's not what he wants to do. The problem is, if you're going to feed the ball down low in this offense, it's going to Embiid and nobody else. You're not going to get the chance for Tobias Harris to sort of go one-on-one against somebody, especially in the fact that they stagger their offense with Harden. When they're all healthy, Harden and Embiid are always on the court at one time. So it's not like he's ever going to be. We've seen it in the past. When somebody is injured, he does step up at times. I mean, he was almost an all-star 2 years ago. The problem is, in the current structure of this team, you're just never going to see him reach his full potential. And that's why I think a trade is still, his name's been coming up a lot lately. And I think if he did get moved to one of those lesser teams in a cap type move, you could see him go back to that all-star type level. So I like the pick there for sure. He's one of the best talents available. With my last two picks, I'm gonna start off. I think there's one guy who's still hanging around here. I can't take him because he's a guard, but is definitely one of the best players on the board. But I'm actually going to go with Kyle Kuzma. I think Kyle Kuzma, so far in Washington, I mean, we saw it the last year that he was in LA, and he's kind of just continued to build since then. He's another one of those guys who seems to have gotten better every year in their career. And since he's gotten to Washington, he's averaging not only like close to 20 points a game, but the rebounds are there. I mean, he put up his first triple-double last year, I think it was, and I think he's had a couple since then. He's really built an all-around game.
He fits really well in Washington.
Really well. And, I mean, it almost reminds you of Tobias in a way, that he's somebody taking advantage of the fact that he's on a team that doesn't have many other options. And I think he's an extremely skilled player. I say it all the time. I wish that the Lakers hadn't given up on him so quickly, because I think he was a better fit than a lot of what they've done in LA since then. Same with Josh Hart. I would have liked to see a lot of these players, Lonzo, having gotten a longer chance with LeBron than they did. But I just think he's somebody that gets overlooked a lot in this league because he's in Washington. They don't get a lot of airtime. They're not a great team, but he's elevated his play every year in the NBA and deserves some recognition. I still don't like his style, as in his dress style that he wears to games, but I like his game style. I'll give him that. And then with my last pick, I kind of am looking at a four here. I already have SGA and Jamal Murray as my guards, Markkanen down low, Kuzma, and now like another little wing between two guys for sure. Like you said, Triple J is a clear pick, talent wise, but the injuries, I already have enough injury concern with Jamal Murray. So actually, the two guys on between though are both injury massacres here. So I'm gonna have to go with Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr., I just love the guy. I love the Nuggets, and I came away with this draft with two of my favorite guys in him and Murray. But such an injury risk, but the talent is just unbelievable. He's Ben Simmons, who can shoot. He's been that since he came out of college. And I just love the skill set that he offers. I think he is the difference maker in Denver. if you have all three of those guys healthy, they can run with anyone in this league. And I'm really confident in the type of player that Michael Porter Jr. can be when he's healthy. And he's been damn good this year. I'm not exactly sure. I got to look up here what his stat line has been. But I know I have him in fantasy, and he's put up pretty decent numbers throughout the year. So, yeah, I'm going to go Michael Porter Jr. there.
All right, so I have one more left.
Yeah, one.
Yeah. Okay, so we have this long list of people, and you missed somebody. Who'd you miss? Take a wild guess. Actually, there's two guys.
Missed on the list?
Yeah.
Shit. I don't know. Now I'm worried. Capella?
No. No. I wouldn't have said anything if you missed Capella. It's whatever.
I don't know.
All right, so I'm going to take, as my big man, I'm going to take DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. I've realized that later.
There was another one, Miles Turner, I was thinking about. Ooh, that's and a I'm good like, one ooh, too. Ayton's better than Turner, especially if you need somebody to help you win. You know, it's funny. DeAndre's going to go down as like a pseudo bust, right? Like not a bust, but like not a bust because of who was in that draft with him. You know, I think Bagley has that on him a bit more. It was funny. They were booing the shit out of him in Sacramento. They were playing the Kings and he was at the free throw line. They were booing him. It was like, no one besides you cares about this. It's like his dad, I think, was the reason why he got traded. So that's like, they have some hostility towards him. But anyway, Ayton went first in 2018. Everybody thought it was the right pick at the time, right? It's like a big man, a 7-footer who can shoot and can play defense. Luka and Trae Young made that kind of not the case, right? I think pretty sure SGA was in that draft too, if I remember correctly, and Porter Jr. was in that draft. There was a lot of talent in that draft, but Ayton has been, in my opinion, when it comes down to availability, right? I mean, he's missed last year. He missed some time. The year before, he missed a few games, and the year before that was obviously the COVID year, so he missed a little bit. But other than that, you know, you can expect your big man's going to miss a few games. But he's never had like a major injury that's kept him out. And when it comes to offensive moves, ability to navigate defenses on offense, when it comes to altering shots on defense and playing passing lanes and things of that nature, you know, he's like top five in the league. He's been like top five for 3 years straight, right? And I think the only reason why he gets the flack that he gets is because he didn't necessarily want to be in Phoenix. It's understandable. They didn't want to pay him max contract. He thought he was a max player. I don't know if I agree with that, but if you want to bet on yourself, bet on yourself, homie. I think if he goes to somewhere where he can get a larger share of the point production, you don't have a Devin Booker, Michael Bridges, or whatever the case is there. I mean, the guy puts up 24 points a game. I think it's very simple. But, you know, his numbers are a bit down, 18. But when Chris got there, his numbers started to drop a little bit. But if you're talking about somebody who should be in literally in a conversation for an actual All-Star game, I mean, we're talking just like right now, just like mid to high talent. Ayton's someone who we've actually like considered as a potential All-Star.
Yeah.
In the past. Definitely. You know? Especially on a team like the Suns, where
they were the best two every year
by a wide margin and could have a case for three, right? Chris Paul goes, Booker goes. Chris Paul's not going this year, especially if he stays hurt the way he's getting hurt. You know, Booker's going. Suns are still good. There's got to be another option there, and I think that other option is probably Ayton. He might get one this year. His numbers are down, though, so I don't know if that's the case. But for me, I think that's a good way to round out the total.
Definitely.
Did you get those all down? Did you write them all down?
Yeah, I have them all. Okay. So we'll throw them up there on the socials, Twitter and Instagram. Maybe get a little vote going. We're also, I'll throw out a vote too for the biggest snubs. So we'll add just to list off a couple of the snubs. I was shocked Jalen Brunson goes undrafted here. Jalen Brunson, definitely a guy kind of on that list. I haven't really checked up on him. How's he been in New York?
Meh.
Nah, he hasn't.
Very high level meh.
Yeah.
All I'm looking at is 28% from three.
Yeah, that's rough. So, I mean, Brunson, maybe. I mean, even Mikal Bridges is somebody that could maybe make this list. As far as defenders go, like, there's a lot of guys. They don't get the all-star look because of the statistics, but I saw you put Marcus Smart down. I think that's a really interesting guy. Even Robert Williams on that team, too. Like, those are really good third-tier players on that team.
I mean, how many depoys never got an all-star game? That's another thing, right?
Exactly.
You want a depoy. I mean, Tony Allen's one that I can think of, but every other one, especially the big men, they've always made All-Star games.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least they've gotten looks.
Triple J, too, with the injuries. I'll just listen off a couple more from this list. Dinwiddie, Christian Wood, and Jeremy Grant. I think all three of those are very, like, similar type players. All pretty solid, but not quite All-Star tier. RJ Barrett, another guy from...
Sucks this year.
Yeah, he's been really bad. Barrett and Hero, both from the same draft class that would have the first year eligible for this draft since they're third-year players. But those are guys just like kind of outside the cusp and have been disappointing so far this season.
He's shooting 40% again from the field. Straight time he's done that.
That's pretty
third,
rough.
Third straight, third time. 27% from three and 76% from the free throw line. He's averaging 18 points a game, and the only reason why is because he's taking 16 shots.
That's pretty.
New York fans have a long leash. We're used to people disappointing us. But like after 4 years, it's like, maybe he's not the guy we thought. That's just how I look at it. You know, Brunson, 20 points a game. That's phenomenal. Good for you. What I look at is 29% from three. Like I was mentioning before, that's bad. It's very bad. Especially if you're shooting four of them a game, you probably should be doing better than 29% if you want to take that many. Especially if you're from the field going almost 50%. Like, you know where your spots are, and it's not beyond the three-point line. So, you know, he actually has been really helpful for us. I mean, as a Knicks fan, just us being 500 is honestly as good as I thought. So, he's not going to take – I mean, he's just not going to take Julius and put him in the back seat, though. Like, that's what we needed. We needed somebody to be the resounding number one for Julius Randle, to be the number two. That's how you win in New York right now. We don't have that. We don't have it, you know. So that's what we're struggling with. But anyway, I have to run here. But for anybody who is still listening at this point, kudos. It's actually where – the more interesting phase of it. So, you know, good for you. Still running this sweepstakes. Obviously the details have been outlined for everybody who's listened in the past. If you want a signed copy from Rashad, again, just subscribe, review, tell your friends about us, all that kind of stuff. The more views we get, the better it looks like when it comes to these actual entries. So, that being said, we'll run this back next week.
Sounds good. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you later.